And now, with Sound Investing, here's Paul Merriman.
First of all, I would like to thank all of you who have taken the time to send me emails with your questions about the Motif project. It is complex in some ways, as we are trying to probably do a lot more than we should, but the opportunities at Motif seem so kind of endless that it was easy to get sucked into to doing more than we should. One of the most common questions I get is asking me whether I would be willing to walk through the different strategies and explain why they exist and how they might apply to whatever particular place that you might be in the investment process. I had thought that this would be a simple, short podcast where I simply went through the variety of portfolios and explained what each one could do or might do depending upon your particular bias, your risk tolerance, your need for return, your desire to be involved in trying to maximize your return. But then I realized that in order to do the job properly, I needed to spend a few minutes and talking about why these portfolios even exist. Obviously, for those of you who have followed my recommendations at Vanguard, Fidelity, and the rest, you know that we have many fewer portfolios there. Why the difference is a good question. But let me go back to what it is that I'm trying to do with the people who are patient enough to read my material, to listen to our podcasts, to review our portfolios, and take the time to figure out what, if anything, that we share with you can be applied to your financial situation. See, the basic goal for me is trying to do what I can to help each one of you make more money with your investments. Always looking for that kind of best unit of return per unit of risk combination. But of course, I don't know you. I know that if I could sit down with each and every one of you, I could help you discover the right combination of spending and saving and investing that I believe would create a better financial future. Of course, I would have to warn you that with all of my best intentions, that at the end of the day, luck is going to have a huge impact. But that would not keep me from recommending steps that I believe would put the odds of success in your favor. And you know the list of things I'm trying to get you to do that are in your favor. I want you to save and invest in a tax-efficient way. I want you to invest so that you keep every dollar possible ending up in your family's pocket, not somebody you won't even probably know in 10 years. I want you to invest in a way that allows you to participate in the growth of the equities market. Or I should say markets, because in our portfolios, you're going to be in many different markets. And I want you to invest in a way that when the storms come, that you'll weather those huge ups and downs of the market, and that you will eventually get that premium for taking the risk. And of course, as you know, we always have to make the point that past returns do not, in fact, mean that future returns will look the same. It's obvious, but the brain still looks at the numbers from the past and kind of translates into some reality that it's going to be that way in the future, and we just don't know. But my challenge is I can't sit down with each of you. I know when I was an investment advisor, started my firm back in 1983, my favorite part of the process, well, I guess at some level what I loved always to do was to teach. I really enjoyed that. It was nothing kind of more fun than having a room full of 50 or 100 people and having the chance to share something that it might benefit those people willing to spend the time. And early in that teaching process, I used to have six-hour workshops. People finally convinced me that was too long. But it didn't change my goal to get you all the information that I thought would help you take better care of yourself. But where I had the most fun once I got past the teaching was the opportunity to sit down and learn all about where that prospective client or investor who was simply asking for my personal help. The fun of sitting down with those people, figuring out where are you, where do you want to go, what sacrifices are you willing to make in order to reach your goals, and then set up a step-by-step plan. Get that in place and have someone to help you keep it in place. Or if you are a do-it-yourselfer, to figure out how you can stay the course and do it yourself. Now, I actually, in the early years of our business, when I would do a public workshop, I would offer everybody a free consultation. Didn't matter if you had one penny to invest. If you took the time to sit through a 3 or 6 hour workshop with me, I was going to give you the benefit of whatever experience I had. Of course, times are different. I'm retired now, and turns out I don't have as many hours as I thought I would have to work on all of these projects in retirement. Turns out that wife and family and other projects take a lot of time, but I'm still chugging along here trying to figure out how to help you. Now, I know from talking with hundreds of investors that my recommendations are helping some people. But I also know that most of the folks I've spoken with are looking at me as one of many sources of information. Now, and I don't mind that, but I do know this from my experience, that people who draw from a whole bunch of different sources are likely to end up with a portfolio that is not going to end well. And the reason I say that is because each of us have that might recommend a certain strategy. It in and of itself is supposed to stand alone. I mean, that's the whole idea of trying to give people a lifetime strategy, is to give them all the pieces they need. But human nature being what it is, what people like to do is take a little here and a little there, and by the time you put the portfolio together, it may make sense to you, but it probably won't make sense to any of those people who gave you the information that helped you build it. So, if I had a client that didn't trust my recommendations, what would happen is they spend a lot of my time asking about, well, what do I think about this other approach? And why aren't you doing this and that? And the fact is that if I worked for those kind of people, I'd never have the time that I need to devote to the people that want me just to do it. And I, of course, wish all of these folks who are trying to, you know every nook and cranny of information, I wish them well. But I got to make sure I've got my time to do my best work to help the people who really are trusting my recommendations. So here's what I think my best work is. I think it's to find a specific approach to investing that I think will work for you over a lifetime. then I need to find those people, those of you who agree with me, and then find a way for you to actually apply what I believe. Remembering one very important thing. I can never be your personal advisor. I can never spend the hours of conversation understanding the dozens of financial and psychological factors that impact you and will impact how you respond to the future. You know, it's interesting what I'm trying to do is really very difficult. It's much easier. I look at what they do at my old company, at the Merriman firm. They have a discovery process that when they have somebody who's about to become a client, at least they're a prospect, they will spend anywhere from 4 to 6 hours of time plus additional time by an associate planner to do the crunching of the numbers and to put together make sure all the questions are asked to fulfill the needs of that client. 4 to 6 hours plus maybe another 4 hours of back office work that the prospect never even participates in. And here I am trying to say that I know enough about you to tell you what you should do with your money. Well, I can't do the same thing. But here's what I'm trying to do to replicate as close as I can to that 4 to 6 hour relationship. First step, I want to share the things that I believe about how to be a successful investor. And then I want to offer a range of solutions that the reader or the listener can match to their personal situation. Now, I could pick one solution and find the people who agree with my recommendations and ignore all the others. I could simply focus my work on first-time investors, 18 to 22-year-old investors, and I could be teaching them how to invest 100% of their money in the equities market. I'm talking about their long-term money. And that would make my life very simple. But, by the way, I think that small group of young people would be a very loyal group of investors. And I think, without any question, that I would have a meaningful impact on their financial future. But that's not the way I built my investment advisory firm. In fact, I taught people how to select from a broad range of equity asset classes and a broad range of combinations of fixed income and equity to try to address their need for return to their risk tolerance. And that led our firm into building a range of investment solutions that I don't know another firm that has done it the way that we did it. It was strange enough that we actually were able to take clients and divide their portfolios, if it fit, this is important, between a market timing and buy and hold. It was not unusual to have clients that had 50-50, half in each. In fact, basically, that's the way my own portfolio is in retirement. But then, not only did we offer these two different strategies, very different, and most people ended up in the buy and hold. Actually, very few. Maybe 1 out of 10 clients would have any market timing in their portfolio. But the firm did something else. We put together combinations of equities and fixed income that would address a whole range of risk and potential return, and, of course, risk means loss. So we might look at an investor and say, hey, you know, you're in retirement. You've been in retirement for 10 years. This money doesn't have to last for 40 years here. Maybe you should be about 30% in equity and 70% in fixed income. Another client would be 70% in equity and 30% in fixed income and 50-50 and 40-60 and 60-40. And in fact, in some cases, after meeting with a client, you say, you know something? I get it. You are not built for any equity in your portfolio. Even if I encouraged you to have 10%, I know what would happen. You'd panic because that 10% was going down. Even though it would not threaten your financial security, it would threaten your financial peace of mind. So we had this full range of solutions so that we didn't have to push everybody into the same model. And when I discovered Motif, the thing that at first, by the way, I just didn't want to get involved. Probably first saw it over a year ago, maybe more. But then I realized what I could do is duplicate a lot of what I built. And by the way, I don't want to pretend I built the Merriman first firm by myself. I didn't. It was a group of very talented, hardworking people. I think still is. But I helped build that firm to do the best we could to privately manage money. But you know what I have found? Is the fine-tuning table that represents almost 50 years of return. That's the table that shows everything from 100% fixed income to 10% equity and 90% fixed income and then 20% equity and 80%. And you go column by column and you keep adding the equity so you can see what happens to returns and you can see what happens to risk. And if I do a good job of laying that out, I think that the individual, even though I can't sit with them and counsel, would be able to see that combination of stocks and bonds in terms of potential returns and losses during the worst of times. Then, with Motif, I could offer those portfolios to match those combinations. Now, at my old firm, all of our buy and hold clients were set up with the same equity positions. Now, they may only have 20% of their money in equities, but that 20% in equities was a balance of U.S. and international, a balance of large and small and value and growth and the REITs and the emerging markets. Of course, the REITs were only in tax-deferred accounts. But basically, because we had looked at the risk and return of different combinations, not thinking so much in terms of what would give you peace of mind, because for a lot of people, 100% in U.S. will give them the peace of mind that they want. But you know something? If I'm going to do the job at Motif in helping people take care of this themselves, I know I'm not going to have the opportunity to sit down and make sure they understand exactly what it is that I believe would be the best. So, with Motif, we've done something that's a huge step. We've said not everybody needs to be 50-50. So, as you'll see when you look through the Motif portfolios, that some of the strategies are 70% U.S., 30% international in whatever equity holding that you might have. And also, you'll see an all-value portfolio. They don't do that, I don't think, at Merriman, an all-value portfolio. But I know a lot of young people, first-time investors, there's no question that an all-value, from everything I know about the past, would be smart. In fact, maybe even for the very youngest, a small-cap value portfolio would be great. What I know is that for a lot of folks, it's one thing for some teacher to say, here's what you should do, but the step between being told what you should do and doing it, even though it may be very simple to open up that account at Vanguard and put your money in all those different funds that I recommend and then rebalance once a year, once every 2 years. but it's just more than people want to get involved in. And what many people look for, instead of what are, let's say, more sophisticated portfolios like I've put together, they'll say, isn't there just one fund that I could own that would do that? The problem is, I would need a fund for 70-30, another fund for 60-40, another fund for 50-50. But what Motif allowed me to do with a push of a button is let somebody pick from amongst all these different combinations. So I'm expecting a lot from you. I'm expecting you to kind of sift through the information that I put out and figure out, okay, I'm a young investor. I have a goal of retiring at 50. I'm not having that conversation with you. You got to have that with yourself. And that a portfolio of all value is probably appropriate for you, because that kind of an approach is going to give you a higher probability of retiring at age 50, but it also has a probability that it will also cause you to work beyond 50, because you might not have that all value during a period of time that all value is as powerful and as productive as it's been in the past. There's a lot of luck in this process. So I want to go through these different portfolios we have, and I want to find out, to the extent that you are interested in using Motif, where it probably fits your needs. Now, I need to make this point, because when I saw Motif, I got very hot and bothered. Yeah, I did. But I wasn't hot and bothered about people who have a million or two or five or ten. I had somebody come to me, they wanted to invest $1.7 million in one of these Motif portfolios. But there are a lot of things that concern me in a case like that. To begin with, I suspect that people have that kind of money would maybe want to have get some tax advice from an advisor, and just to do a automatic rebalance for $9.95, yes, the price is right, no question. But moving $1.7 million around all at one time can have an impact on the price that you get for the securities you own. So really, I when I first saw what Motif could do, I'm thinking, wow, this is great for young investors, smaller accounts. Now, it's still great for portfolios, larger portfolios, but I'm not sure it's right for $1.7 million. You know what, $1.7 million, you could be doing business with DFA. And by the way, in many cases, you got that kind of money, you could be doing money with business with Vanguard, where you have the ability to make an exchange with not only zero commission. You don't even have to spend the $9.95, but the pricing of the underlying portfolio, whether you're a buyer or a seller, is exactly the same. You can't get that with Motif and with ETFs. You don't get the offer to buy or sell at exactly the same price. There is a spread. Personally, I took 0.5% approximately of my portfolio. Now that, to be fair, that includes the money I've got in the Merriman Financial Education Foundation. It's not my money, but it's still money that I'm managing or is being managed for me through my old firm. In fact, to be fair, I don't personally manage any money. I let somebody else do it. The only exception at this point is this position I have at Motif, which is a look-alike of an all-value portfolio I have in a DFA combination, because I want to compare the returns real-time. So that would be a reason to use Motif, but other than that, I don't think that Motif would be right for my account. So, I want to take the time here to go through these different portfolios, where you might use them, and I must say, for those of you who are not interested in Motif, I'm hoping by now that you've stopped this podcast, because this is going to be really boring to the extent that you're going to sit and listen to me go through each one of these portfolios, because I need to go into why is each one here, how are they different, and what are they likely to do in terms of returns. And by the way, we have now produced tables of returns, fine-tuning your asset allocation returns for these different combinations. Now, you're not going to see it in small cap value, and I'll talk about that when I get to it. So let me start first with the ultimate buy and hold worldwide 100% equity tax-deferred Motif strategy. Now, what this one is the traditional or the one I've been talking about for decades, and that is the combination of equity, and by the way, not only from 100% equity, but all the way down to 20% equity. So there are portfolios to choose from where you could be 100% equity, 90, 80, 70, 60, 50, 40, 30, and 20. And in each case, the equity portion is going to be the traditional 50-50 U.S. international. The holdings of large cap blend, large cap value, small cap blend, small cap value, REITs, international in the large blend, large value, small blend, small value, and finally emerging markets. And so it's for people who I think should be looking at that worldwide fine-tuning table. Now, that's a tax-deferred account. And there's another account that is a taxable account. Now, certainly you understand that for a large taxable account, you'd probably be sitting with an advisor and they'd be determining where that fixed income should be. It could be different things for different people depending upon their tax rate. So it may not be a one-size-fits-all in the taxable arena, more likely in the tax-deferred. And let me make sure you understand how I look at the fixed income portion, particularly of the tax-deferred accounts. We're in the fixed income to protect the portfolio during uncertain times when the market is down and dirty. And what we know historically is when the market is really in a catastrophic mode, U.S. government bonds are the place to be. And so since the money is going to be made in the equity portion of the portfolio, we want that fixed income portion to be focused on stability. Now, there's a second portfolio, and that is, other than the remember we talked about now, the ultimate buy and hold worldwide, 100% equity down to 20% equity. And then there's the taxable account, the same thing. Then there's also a Vanguard buy and hold, ultimate buy and hold, that actually looks just like our recommendations at Vanguard. Now, you could say, well, who would want that? I mean, why don't they just go to Vanguard and do that? Now, I'm talking about the recommendations for the ETFs, because when you use the Vanguard ETFs, use our recommendations, they are commission-free and spread-free, so there is no cost, no $9.95 cost to rebalance. And the reason that we set these up at Motif is because I think there are a lot of people that for $9.95 once a year to be able to rebalance is a bargain, because that's a challenge for a lot of people to sit down and figure out. Now, by the way, when you're young, I don't even know that you need to rebalance on an annual basis. Once every 2 years might be just fine. And also, I talked to somebody who chose the Vanguard portfolios because when it gets large enough, they're going to make a transfer out of Motif over to Vanguard and convert the money to the funds, the Admiral shares. So that was an interesting decision on his part, really planning way into the future. But I suspect we're not going to have a lot of the Vanguard accounts, but I've seen some that have been opened. And the reason that we're not is because if you look at our best of class portfolio, you will see that most of the ETFs actually are Vanguard. And what we've done is we filled in with ETFs that give us exposure to those that we don't, asset classes that we don't have by dealing direct with Vanguard. Now, then there's another account, an ultimate buy and hold, 70% U.S., 100% equity, tax deferred, and that one goes from 100% equity down to 20% equity. Now, what's different here? Remember I mentioned that we've always been 50-50 U.S. international in the work that, at least when I was at Merriman. I'm not sure what they're doing in that regard today, but this particular account is for people who are more comfortable having more of their money in the U.S. market. And so it's a 70% U.S., this is in the equity portion, 30% international. And the difference in returns, if you look at the table, is not great, but if the difference in peace of mind is great, it's worth consideration. And then you have the same thing in a taxable account, the 70% equity. And we also have the same thing in the Vanguard account. Vanguard only with a 70% equity. And again, going from 70%, from 100% equity in the account all the way down to 20% equity. Then there's the all value worldwide 100% equity tax deferred, which goes from 100% equity down to 40% equity. We don't go down to 20% with this particular portfolio. By the time that somebody wants 20 or 30% in equities and the rest in fixed income, they should probably also be in a more broadly diversified than an all-value portfolio. Now, if you haven't read the article about, the title is Why You Should Consider an All-Value Portfolio, I hope that you will, because I think that's some of the most interesting work that I've been involved with in the 30-plus years I've been building portfolios like this. And I think you'll see why I'm not afraid to recommend, particularly to a young person, an all-value portfolio. And I suspect if a young person lives with an all-value portfolio and compares it to the volatility of the S&P 500 or the worldwide portfolio, equity portfolio, I suspect they could be all value in the equity portion of their portfolio for the rest of their life. We also have an all value 70-30. In other words, it's the all value worldwide, so equities both in U.S. and international, but 70% in the U.S. and 30% in the international. And again, we go from 100% equity down to 40% equity. And then we have a small cap value worldwide. In other words, you're going to have small cap value, U.S. and international. You'll even get a little slice of small cap emerging market. Great portfolio for a newborn child. In fact, I think you'll find it interesting when we come out with our new target date fund recommendations and look at what we recommend for the newborn child, who should have a target date fund just like everybody else. So there's the small cap value worldwide, 100% equity. Now, in this particular case, we do not show combinations with fixed income, because if you're going to start matching fixed income to value, we would want you to be in a worldwide all value, big and small, not just small. And finally, the all small cap value, 70% U.S. Instead of 50-50 U.S. international, will be 70% U.S., 30% international. So that's a lot for you to go through. I hope now you'll go back, if you're interested, and review those portfolios, review those tables. If you will go to either the performance link or the best advice link, you'll have access to all of those tables. I don't have to tell you to keep those questions coming. I do want to apologize that Chris Patterson and myself have not had the time to answer every question, but in the coming weeks and months, we certainly hope that we do, and we are building a library of Q&As at our motif page at paulmerriman.com. So thank you for listening as always, and let's hope this market continues to reward those of us who are willing to take the risk of equities. That, of course, is always the unknown on a short-term basis, but should reward us all over the long term. Thank you.
That was Paul Merriman with Sound Investing. Sound Investing, soundinvesting.com, and paulmerriman.com are produced and exclusively owned by Paul Merriman, who is solely responsible for their content. For more information, free articles, mutual fund recommendations, and more, visit paulmerriman.com.